Amen. Appreciate the message and song. Take your Bible, if you will, this morning to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, if you would. Daniel chapter 2. I'm pretty sure I've used this verse for a text before, and there's probably a good chance, if the Lord lets me live, I'll do it again at some point in the future. But this is the passage I believe the Lord has laid on my heart and to preach from this morning, and I hope it'll be a blessing. I just couldn't help but think, as my brother was singing, well, there's a lot of things I sure hope I'll understand later, because I sure don't understand them now, you know. Just don't understand them. Look forward to that day when we will understand those things. All right, you're there in Daniel chapter 2. Just one verse. We're going to kind of start right in the middle of the story, all right? Verse 28, the Bible says, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." And then Daniel began to explain to Nebuchadnezzar what was going on. So, man, what a wonderful deal. I want to draw your attention, really, to the first words there, first six words, where the Bible says, "But there is a God in heaven." There is a God in heaven. You know, I think it's safe to say that we live in days of doubt, disturbance, delusions, distress, and with a lot of people, even despair, all right? Now, I sure hope you're not in despair today. I don't believe there's any reason for us to despair. I don't know if you're like me. I'm tired of hearing people say the new normal. Aren't you tired of hearing? I'm just tired of somebody say, well, the new normal. Hey, if it's new, it ain't normal, all right? Normal has been around a long time, okay? So just tired of hearing that. But I got to thinking, you know, I never thought I would live to see the day that the ruling council of a city would think it was a good idea to defund their own police department. But we've seen that happen. In the same way, I never thought it'd be, you know, watching people riot, loot, and burn, and then defend what they were doing as justified and saying it's all justified. Hey, these people have insurance, so it's no problem. And at the same time, the police force not allowed to stop that foolishness. But we've seen it happen. I never thought we'd see a time in the United States when the liquor stores were called essential and churches were called non-essential. Neither did I think I'd ever hear elected leaders let a vocal minority of Marxist agitators set the agenda for legislation. But we've seen that happen in our day. But I want to say this to you. However, I'm not wringing my hands in despair, all right? I'm not looking for a place to hide awaiting the apocalypse. I'm not storing up supplies or planning to equip a bunker hidden away. I'm not doing that. I don't live today in fear of disease, distress, depression, or defeat. Far from that. Say, why not? Because there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. Look, if you will, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. I want you to see this as Daniel has said, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. The deep and secret things, he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Amen. Hey, listen, there is a God in heaven today, and he reveals secrets. Daniel and his cohorts, if you will, were in a distressful time in Daniel chapter 2. If you're not familiar with the story, I'm going to tell it. If you are, you won't mind hearing it again. In Daniel chapter 2, the king Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, and he got up, and that morning it had disturbed him greatly. So he got up and he went to all his wise men, his astrologers, and all of that group, and he says, hey, look, to tell me the interpretation of my dream. They said, no sweat, we can do it. Just whoop the dream on us and we'll tell you what it means. And he said, ah, that's the case. He said, anybody could do that. Old Nebuchadnezzar had enough sense to realize, you know, if you heard a dream, anybody could make up a tale as to what it meant. So Nebuchadnezzar said, well, that's just it. I can't remember the dream, but you guys are good. And if you're really good, you'll be able to give me the dream and then tell me what it means. And boy, that sent them into apoplexy. You know, they said, you're asking what nobody's ever asked before. I mean, it's nobody could do that. Look at verse 11. This is what they said to him. He said, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the God, whose dwelling is not with flesh. I want to tell you, it's not with the gods, plural. It's with God, singular. And by the way, his dwelling is with the flesh. He dwells in you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. There is a God in heaven, and he reveals secrets. Those Hebrew fellows there, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, needed some help. They knew they needed some help. They were under a death sentence because all these other imposters that had served before King Nebuchadnezzar before couldn't cut the mustard when they really needed to do it. And so he comes back to him and he said, all right, God can supply this. He said, listen, King, just give me a minute. Just let me go and find out. I'll be able to interpret your dream. I'll be able to tell you what happened. And so Daniel got together with his three friends. And you know what they did? They prayed. They prayed. And the Bible said God revealed it to Daniel in the night vision. He revealed it to him. They prayed and God came through. Why? Because there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven and he can reveal secrets. I want to tell you something, folks. I serve that same God today. I serve that same God. How about you? I hope he's the one you serve. You said, yeah, but he's never revealed anything to me in a dream. You don't need to have dreams revealed, all right? You don't need a dream interpreted. You don't need that interpretation. But what you do need is you need wisdom from above, wisdom that only God can give you to live in this whole world. And you know what? He'll reveal it to you. He'll reveal his will. He'll show you his will. He'll show you his way in matters of this world. He still answers prayer. He's still there. He's still in heaven, but he still gets in touch with us, all right? He reveals to us what we need. If you don't have the answer you need, you've not gone enough to get the answer. You've just not gone to him enough. You said, well, I prayed once. Yeah, you need to be like that kid out there that wants some candy and then saying, could I have a piece? Please? Oh, come on, please. Pretty please. I'm begging, all right? Man, you ought to go to God that way and let him know you're serious. You know what he'll do? He reveals secrets. There is a God in heaven. He reveals secrets. I don't tell you, my friend, that's not all he does. That's not all. Take the Bible to Proverbs chapter 21, would you? There is a God in heaven today. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Hey, there is a God in heaven, and he rules in the affairs of men. He rules in the affairs of men. There's some men of great power in our day. There's some today that really have nearly ultimate power in some places. Some parts of this world, there are those that really almost have the life or death for people under them. Now, fortunately, it hadn't got that way here yet, okay? But we've got some powerful people in our land. I just want to tell you something. God still rules in the affairs of men. Somebody said, well, that fellow thinks he can do anything. He may think he can, but God can take care of that. God can turn the heart of kings. God can change the heart of a judge. God can change the heart of a president. God can change the heart of senators and representatives. God can change their heart. He can deal with them, and he does rule in the affairs of men. He does. He is in charge we look at what's going on in our land and we think, well, it's absolute chaos. Nobody's in charge. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God's still in charge. He still rules in the hearts and the affairs of men. And if he can turn the heart of a king, don't you know he wouldn't have any trouble with a commoner like me and you? He wouldn't have any problem with people like us. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 says this, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Yeah, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Hey, God's in the charge. He can rule in the affairs of men. You know, there were many instances in the Bible where it looked like there was no hope. No hope whatsoever. Man, we don't have a chance. And God just turned the situation. He turned the situation. They seemed like they were surrounded. There was a day when old Elijah or Elisha thought he was surrounded. And he had a servant that went out and he said, man, we are surrounded. Have a hope. But God turned the situation. Old Sennacherib came down, led his army down against Israel. It looked like they didn't have a hope. They surrounded the city. They were starving to death, and there was nothing to eat. They were actually selling dove's dung for something to eat. It got so bad, but the prophet of God came along and said, don't worry, tomorrow there'll be plenty to eat. Be plenty to eat. And God did. He came that night and took away the whole army of Sennacherib. They took off, and they left in such a haste that they left all their food, all their supplies, and man, they feasted the next day. Hey, why? Because God rules in the affairs of men. There is a God in heaven. That God in heaven is concerned about me and you, all right? He's concerned about us. The Bible tells us if he knows when the sparrow falls, don't you think he knows what's going on with me and you? Don't you think he can, if he knows how many hairs are on our head? Some of you don't give him very big a challenge there, all right? And some of you are like me, it's getting easier to keep count of them all the time, all right? But if he knows that, don't you think he knows about you? Don't you think he cares about you? Hey, there's a God in heaven, and he reveals secrets, but he rules in the hearts of men. He rules in the affairs of men. He's in charge. Don't get excited. You look around and see what's going on in the world. Don't panic. The Lord's in charge. He can rule in the affairs of men. I'll tell you this, not only is there a God in heaven that reveals secrets and rules in the affairs of men, but this kind of excites me. He rewards men. He rewards men. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 11. That God in heaven rewards men. He's not inconsiderate. He's not uncaring about mankind. Not at all. He rewards those who need to be rewarded. Verse 6, a great verse in the Bible, like many others, but it says, but without faith, Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, if you'll seek him, he'll reward you. You say, well, how's he going to reward me? Well, first of all, you'll find him. You'll find him. I don't believe there's ever been anybody that really sought God that didn't find him. Didn't find God. That fellow yonder somewhere over in the deepest part of the jungle, back there in an area where the world says these people are uncivilized. I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart, if a fellow back there got to seeking God and got to looking up maybe at the sky at night, he may be there in a loincloth holding a spear. But if he's seeking God, I'm going to tell you something. I believe God will get somebody to him. And I believe that with all this within him. Hey, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And don't you know if you'd seek him, you'd find him. You'd find him. He said, well, preacher, I prayed, and he didn't answer. Keep praying. Keep praying. Just keep praying, all right? So, well, I have a need. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep seeking him. Because, man, this Bible's true. And that God in heaven is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He'll reward those that seek him, but that's not all. Take your Bible over to the last book in the Bible and the last chapter in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, if you would. What a marvelous verse. What an encouraging verse for the child of God in our day. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, turn thou, if you get to the maps, you've gone too far, all right? Back up. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Notice, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, some of you may not like that according part, but that's the reward. According as his work shall be. He said, I'm bringing my reward to give every man, according as his work shall be. What are you saying, preacher? I said that God in heaven is a rewarder of them that seek him, but he's also a rewarder of them that'll serve him. You serve God, you mark it down, God's keeping a record of it. God's keeping account of it. Other people may not notice. And by the way, the Bible said if you just give a cup of water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. You know, you don't have to evangelize a whole nation to get a reward. Get a reward. God said, I'm keeping track. If he keeps track of that man that just gives a cup of water in his name, you'll serve God. You'll serve him. He'll reward you. He'll reward you. There's a reward coming, folks. Now, I'm not saying you ought to serve him for the reward, but I am saying if you serve him, there is a reward, all right? You ought to just serve him because you love him. You ought to serve him because you love him. This morning, before anybody got here, Brother Hawkins and myself were sitting in the office. We were talking. Brother Hawkins gets here right after his hunting. He and I were sitting in the office, and we were talking, and we were talking about the goodness of God, and I said, man, I don't know why the Lord would love me. I said, me either, but sure I'm glad he does, don't you? And boy, that God that loves us, I ought to serve him just because he loved me. Just because he sent his son to die on the cross to pay my sin debt, I ought to come to him and ought to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Nothing you want. Nothing. Because you saved my soul. I didn't do anything to deserve it. Hey, he'll do that. He'll save you. But if you'll serve him, he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. Now, we owe him everything. We owe him everything. And if we served him with your whole life and he never gave you any reward except to save you, you got no complaint. But the Bible says he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. And he's bringing his reward with him. If those that'll just go to him, and it'll be according to what you've done for him. What a blessing. There is a God in heaven. He's a revealer of secrets. He rules in the affairs of men. He rewards men. He rewards men. I'll tell you something else that excites me as a child of God. Back up just a little bit to 1 John chapter 2, would you? 1 John chapter 2. You have your Bible there. Boy, this is exciting to me. 1 John. All right. My little children. Who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to me, man. I'm one of his little youngins, all right? He's talking to you if you're saved. And he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, oh, here it is. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, you ever think about that? We have a God in heaven, and you know what? He represents me. He represents us. There he is, all right? We've got an advocate with the Father. An advocate, that's a legal term. He represents us legally. How many of you here, this is not a trick question, how many of you here have a lawyer that you consult? If you need any legal thing done, you have a lawyer. Anybody like that? All right, two of you do. That's good. Some of the rest of you, I know you need to get one. No, I was kidding, all right? But I don't have a lawyer that I go to, but I tell you what, I do have a legal representative in heaven. I've got an advocate there. Thank God that God in heaven represents me in heaven. Represents me in heaven. If anybody up there brings a charge against me, I've got an advocate. I've got an advocate there. Hey, you know what? If I make a mess of things here, and I have. I've made a mess of things here. That's all right. He's there to represent me before the Father. Have we ever thought, stop and think about what a blessing that is? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Man, I don't know about you, but if I ever had to go to court, I want the slickest lawyer there is. I want the slickest one there is. I want the one that'll do everything me off the hook. One that's the smartest, but also want the one that's the slickest, okay? Use every legal means. If I was really in trouble, I wouldn't care if he could pull off something illegal, probably, all right? But it helped me. Well, I want to tell you, the Bible says we got one in heaven. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Hey, he's the one. If you're going to represent you, there's the one to have represent you. He knows. He knows. He's taken care of all those things. He's provided for us. Hey, he knows me because he's been where I am. Isn't that good? He's our advocate. Did you ever stop and think about folks out in the old world? The lost world has nobody to stand for. Oh, they can hire a crook here. But I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about in heaven. Hey, everything's not going to be decided here. You remember that. Everything's not going to be decided here. The old world's got nobody to represent them. They stand alone before the one who knows everything about them. Everything about them. Thank God there's a God in heaven that represents me. He represents you. Oh, what a blessing. Hey, go back a little further toward the front of your Bible. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Oh, there is a God in heaven. He reveals secrets. He rules in the affairs of men. He rewards men. He represents men that are saved. But I want to tell you, this so excites me. He romps on the devil. He romps on the devil. James chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe. But notice the next two words, would you? And tremble. Somebody said, well, I believe in God. Well, good for you. But that's not enough. The Bible said the devils also, but they do more than you do. They tremble. They tremble. So why is that? Because they believe in the God and they know his power. They know his power. I said he romps on the devil, and he does. There was a fellow preacher, great preacher by the name of Ron Garris. And Ron Garris, such a marvelous preacher. He had a real famous sermon called Headbusting Runs in My Family. Headbusting Runs in My Family. He said, what in the world? Well, he got that from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Flip back there with me. Hold your place here in James, all right? But over to Genesis chapter 3, would you? And old Ron Garris, he'd preach on headbusting runs in my family. And he got it from Genesis 3, verse 15. And where the Bible said, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He said, the scriptures, oh, the devil is going to bruise the heel, and he did yonder on Calvary. He did. But I want to tell you, God bruised his head. All right? God bruised his head. He romped on him, all right? He romps on the devil. It is no challenge for our God to face down the devil. No challenge whatsoever. I'll be honest with you. I believe with all my heart, old smutty face knows he's got only a short time, so he's working real hard to destroy people. You know, I read the account of the Bible. I read about the devil, where he came from, and where he's going, and I know the devil knows that. And you'd think, well, he'd give up in despair. But because of the ego of that devil, old Satan himself, and he wanted to exalt his throne over that of God, because of his ego, he would come to you and he would say to you, hey, I want to rule too. And he's out to do that. The Bible tells us he's destined for the bottomless pit and then the lake of fire. That's his destiny. Can I say this? If you're following him, that's where you're headed. That's where you're headed. But if you're a child of God, I just want you to know something. That God that's in heaven, he romps on the devil. It's not a challenge. He's beaten him before, and he's going to beat him again, and he's going to destroy him. His ultimate doom is already foretold. We know it's coming. Now, don't you let that old devil then discourage you. Don't you let him call you down and make you think, well, hey, life's not worth living. It's all over. I can't succeed. Yes, you can. Because there's a God in heaven that has no problem romping on the devil, all right? He's able to do it. He can do it. He has done it. He'll do it again. He's definitely going to do it one of these days, where the Bible tells us the devil's going to be bound and he's going to be cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. You talk about a time. What a time. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, that brings this to mind. There's a God in heaven, and you know what? He's returning for his own. He's returning for his own. Look in John chapter 14, all right? John chapter 14. A lot of times John 14, you hear it at a funeral. And there's nothing wrong with it. It is marvelous verses of comfort at a funeral service. But I want to tell you, we can read these verses. Don't have to be at a funeral. We can get excited about it. The Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples, and he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But then he says this, I go to prepare a place for you. And then verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. What a promise. What a promise. There is a God in heaven, but I'm going to tell you, he's returning for his own one of these days. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, preacher, you're going all over the Bible. Well, praise God, we've got the Bible, all right? And we know the truth of it. You don't just have to listen to me and say, boy, I hope he's preaching the truth. Man, I want you to know it's in the Bible, all right? It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Hey, you know what? I'm listening for the trumpet. I'm listening for the trumpet today. I watch the news occasionally. I don't watch the news as much as I used to. Used to, every night I'd watch the news. But it's the same thing all the time, so I don't watch it as much as I did. And But I'm not worried about what they've got on their app because I'm listening for the trumpet to sound. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound. The Bible says it's going to do that. The Bible tells us, man, the last trump, and when it sounds, the dead shall be raised. The dead shall be raised. They're going to come forth out of those graves. The graves will be open. The dead will come up. And then the Bible says, we which are alive and remain to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, he's coming back. Go with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, if you would. Look with me in verse 6. What a wonderful promise the Bible has for us. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, we find this verse. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. He said, where's that going to be? Right here. Right on this earth. Right on this earth. Now, there's a host of people that they don't believe that. Church of Christ do not believe in the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And that's all right. Let them believe what they want to, all right? It's a free country, all right? It's a free country. But the Bible says we're going to reign with him 1,000 years. Right here on this earth, because he's coming back to this earth. He's coming back to this earth. Hey, the day's coming. The trump of God's going to sound. We'll meet him in the air. We'll meet him in the air. And 7 years later, though, he's coming back to the earth. During that 7 years, there's going to be tribulation on the earth. You think there's trouble today? You think there's problems today? You know, there's cities around our country that the agitators and the Marxists are trying to burn down and destroy, and they're looting and they're burning, they're destroying. Hey, put that in every city and every place. That's the tribulation. That's the tribulation. Hey, you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. A lot worse after we're gone. But then at the end of that time, we're coming back. We're returning to this old earth. And the Bible says the desert will blossom. It's going to blossom as a rose, all right? What a time it's going to be. The child shall play on the hole of an ass. And the lion and the lamb will lay down together, and a little child shall lead them. I heard old B.R. Lakin preaching one time. He said, I got on a train trip. I started out across the United States, and he said, we got out there, and he said, man, what happened to the desert? And he said, well, hey, the Lord reigns in Zion. The desert's going to blossom as a rose. And he said, well, where's the crippled children's hospital? He said, the Lord reigns in Zion, and the lame man shall leap as an hart. And he went on and on rejoicing over that. Hey, the Lord's coming back, all right? There is a God in heaven and returning for us. He's returning for us. Oh, hallelujah, what a blessing it is. Hey, that God in heaven, he reveals secrets. He'll still do that today for you. You need help, he'll reveal you help. He'll tell you what you need. Hey, he rules in the affairs of men. He still does that. He rewards men. He represents me in heaven today. He represents you in heaven. He romps on the devil, and he always has. He always will. He's returning for his own. You mark her down. He's the God in heaven, but he redeems men today. He regenerates men. If you're lost this morning without Jesus Christ, you'd come to him. He'll save your soul. He'll make you anew. He'll make a new man that only God can do it. He does it. You're here this morning. You've gotten away from him. Got good news. He'll receive you back. He'll receive you back. Just as he did the old prodigal son. That prodigal left home, left the father, and he wasted his substance. But the day came where he said, man, the hired servants are doing better than I am. Hired servants back in my father's house are doing better than I am. I'm going back to the father. Let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven, and he receives his own back. You wander away from him, the door's open. You can come back. He'll take you back. You don't have to think, well, how will I be treated? He's waiting. He's got a robe to put on you. He's got shoes to put on your feet. He's got a ring to put on your hand. Hey, he'll kill the fatted calf for you. What do you need to do? Just come back. Just come back to him. Oh, this morning, let me say to you, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. You don't need to stand and sit here this morning in despair. You do not need to sit here and think, what's going to happen? How am I going to survive? I'm going to make it. There's a God in heaven, and he's still taking care of his kids. Still taking care of his children. Oh, listen, is he your God? Is he your God? Why don't you just get close to him a little bit? Don't you just get close to him a little bit? Yesterday, some of my grandkids were over the town, and my grandson, he got up in the chair with me. Now, I just want to tell you, it's no secret. I filled the chair up, okay? So he gets in my recliner with me, and he's kind of scooting on. He said, hey, quit scooting out. I said, I'm not doing anything, boy. I was just sitting here. I said, if you want, I can do some scooting. And I shoved him off the arm of the chair into the floor. But he hopped back up there. And I realized, you know what, all he wants to do is just be close to Grandpa a little bit. Can I say something to you? Don't you want to be close to that God that's in heaven? Don't you want to get close to the one that sent his son to die for you? Don't you want to snuggle up to him just a little bit? Don't you want to shelter yourself under the wing and under the shadow of the Almighty? Man alive, why you want to live way out yonder? And there's a God in heaven that's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. Why don't you come to him today? Why don't you come to it? Why don't you build that relationship? Hey, the world's going to hell, but we're not. We're not. Now, things look bleak, but it's okay. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's good there. Oh, listen. Be your God. Get close to him. Get close to him today. You wandered a little away, come back. He'll receive you. Say, preacher, I've messed up. That's all right. He can fix you up. He can fix you. He can take care of what's wrong. Why don't you come to him? Heavenly Father, Lord, deal with us this morning. Help us to see ourselves as we are. Help us to realize, just as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, and as they explained, as Daniel explained to Nebuchadnezzar, there's a God in heaven. Lord, he's my God. You're our God. Oh, Lord, may we just get close to you today. Help us to come to you this morning. Bring our burdens, bring our cares, and cast them at your feet. Lord, just meet with us. Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please, this morning as we sing the invitation hymn? Listen, my friend, you're here without Christ. He'll save you. He'll save you. He'll save your soul if you'd come to him. You'd just come. You're here as a Christian. You've wandered away from the Lord. You've gotten away from him. You don't have the relationship you ought to have. Why don't you come to him? He wants you. He'll take you. Would you just come? We sing invitation this morning. You do it, God, please. Come on while we sing. Shed for me, and hath thou bidst me come, thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Sing that next verse, would you? Waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Sing one more verse. Give you time. Give these time. Would you come? Tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Would you bow your heads, please, every head bowed, every eye closed, as the instruments play softly. Listen, would you pray? Pray for those people that came, they had a burden, they had a need. Ask God to meet that need. How about you? How about you? Should you have come this morning?